So unfortunately, it seems like happens all too often in the wrestling business. Deaths seem to come in pairs or even threes. And unfortunately, that was the case this past week. As we you know, as you can see, we did a tribute to legendary wrestler Ole Anderson, and now we will be doing a tribute on the legendary life and career of Virgil. And for that, I'll turn it over to my esteemed PWP co-host, Logan. Why don't you take it away?
So usually with these, I'll peel back the curtain for the listeners. I do a little research. I mean, we talk about how I know a lot about stuff, but I don't know everything, man. And some people's careers, like we learned about Ole, he had like 20-plus tag title wins. Don't hear that all that often. I looked up Virgil, and a little crazy that we're doing an episode, but if you want me to begin, I guess,
You should know something about him. You know, this Virgil, he's like a master on the mic. You know, he was a great promo. He knew how to...
Yeah!
He wrote stuff pretty well.
Poetry!
I guess. I don't know if I consider it poetry. But
he was an ancient Roman poet. He composed three of the most famous poems in Latin literature.
I didn't know he had that much time on his hands when he was managing Ted DiBiase to write poems.
Ted DiBiase. How did this guy...
Did you say ancient Rome?
Yeah, how did this guy manage...
Are you talking about the ancient Roman poet Publius Virgilius Maro? That was born in Italy? In the Roman Empire?
Is that not what we're talking about? I heard the Virgil that we were talking about was all about meat sauce, so I figured...
Yeah, that would scream Italian to me. I see how you got that mixed up.
But this Virgil
you're talking about died in 19 BC. And you know what the BC stands for? Before Chile.
Before children? Alright, you said... So he's in the WWE. Yeah. DiBiase.
Yeah.
Virgil.
Yep.
Oh shit, I do know that guy.
See, yeah, he's the one that does the meet and greets. Mm-hmm. So you never had anybody there.
Zion and Dalton tried giving him deodorant at StarCast.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, when we gave them deodorant, that was one of the tables they walked up to.
What'd he say?
I assume no, but he was probably happy that someone acknowledged him. Well, we kid, Virgil, Mike Jones did pass away. I say Mike Jones because as we discuss him, he had plenty of names in wrestling. He definitely is, I think, between him and Iron Sheik, probably the two most that had a career renaissance because of social media.
Yeah.
But the difference is Iron Sheik had a team do it for him, and Virgil did it himself. And I can tell you did it himself because he did my favorite wrestler tweet of all time. I forget what women's match it followed, but he said, "Moolah is smiling up from hell," and I... that's magic.
Well, you might have had a team. Did you? I think he just released it, like, to people that aren't subscribed to his, like, paid wall. Sean Rossap uploaded his interview with Virgil. It was, quote, the worst interview he's ever done. And the reason he says so is because there's, a long delay between... Like, when he asked him a question and when he would answer.
Yeah.
So he was thinking that somebody was, like, in his ear, like, listening in, and then feeding him answers to give during the interview.
Pizzas. Don't ruin it for me.
I won't. That's a lie. I lied to you.
Oh, okay.
Just a prank. Just a prank, Logan.
Just a prank. Just like the earlier part of this podcast, just a prank before people get upset.
Yep. Don't upset Logan.
But, Yeah, I don't want to cry. So he actually started his career.
Logan, chronic crier, let me tell you guys. Should have
I
seen him at his wedding.
so
Ball.
you got me. You know what wouldn't have made me cry though? If Soul Train Jones would have came to my wedding. Soul Train Jones, the first name that Virgil had in professional wrestling. I bet you wouldn't have guessed that he debuted in Memphis, Tennessee under the name Soul Train Jones.
Nope.
This was in 80, he debuted in 85. His big feud was with Big Bubba, which was Tugboat slash the Shockmaster. He also feuded with Tommy Rich. He challenged Nick Bockwinkel for the AWA title, and he and Rocky Johnson actually held the AWA Southern Tag Team Championships. From there, Vince McMahon noticed something because he went to the WWF. He first appeared under the name Luscious Brown. And his first WWF match, he lost to Paul Orndorff. But he debuted in the summer of 87 as Virgil,
Hey.
Million Dollar Man's manager.
Hey.
He usually be the one that would take the heat for the Million Dollar Man, but he'd also dish out some punishment. He helped DiBiase and Andre the Giant just get one over on Hulk Hogan by having that one referee get plastic surgery so that he could look like Dave Hebner. I say that one referee because in story, he's not supposed to be his brother. So it's just some random guy they paid to get plastic surgery.
I love that.
Virgil was also in the corner of Andre the Giant, Ted DiBiase, as they fought the Mega Powers with Miss Elizabeth. We talk about in a Miss Elizabeth podcast that we recorded last week that, she took off her skirt to kind of distract the boys. It's probably a good thing that Virgil did not take off his pants to try and distract Hogan and Savage. Because according to Virgil, he has a 14-inch reindeer dick.
I believe him.
I do too. That's why he can't do top rope moves because you'd see it flapping as it went through the air. Quote from him.
Think Hulk Hogan wears bird got loose or something?
Oh my God. So Virgil would also
This is
wrestle
going off the
DiBiase's
rails.
rivals. And if DiBiase's opponent could beat Virgil, they'd finally get a match with the Million Dollar Man. Virgil just he kept getting humiliated though. DiBiase was he was the heel. He kept getting heat. People wanted Virgil to get out on his own, and he ended up turning on him, hitting him at the Royal Rumble with the Million Dollar Belt. That made Virgil an instant fan favorite. You hear everyone, and I had to rewatch it because I hadn't seen it in a while. But that pop is huge.
Hurricane posted he said that he was always aiming to get that level of pop.
It was huge. I don't know of any other. I mean, and it's so funny because now it's a story that constantly happens. The bodyguard gets pushed and pushed and pushed, and he finally turns on him. It happened as recently as Wardlow and MJF. But yeah, it was such a big moment. He actually trained with Roddy Piper on screen so that way he could fight DiBiase. He did beat Ted DiBiase at WrestleMania 7 by count out.
Still
And he did
counts.
beat Ted DiBiase for a title at SummerSlam. I mean, it's a million-dollar title. So, I mean, it's still a WWF sanctioned title, kind of, sort of. He did lose the belt back to DiBiase because of that darn Repo Man. And after the Ted DiBiase feud, though, he didn't do a whole lot in the WWF. He's a singles wrestler. I think he had one of the worst gears of all time. The red striped pants. I thought it was awful. A somewhat big moment. He wrestled in one of the masks to protect his face because his nose got broken, and sometimes he would use it in matches. He did get a shot for Bret Hart's heavyweight title, though, and I'm sure Bret Hart made the match look great because he turned chicken shit into chicken salad.
Yep.
His last appearance on a pay-per-view was the Royal Rumble, he was a late substitute.
He turned meat shit into meat sauce?
Meat shit into meat sauce. His last notable feud was with the returning Nikolai Volkov. Volkov at the time would wear a C symbol on his tights. It's the cent sign, and you know, because he wasn't money, he was cents, as DiBiase would say. Virgil made a couple appearances after this. And that was it in the WWF. He thought it was going off the rails before. 95, he competed in the National Wrestling Conference. The match has a lot of controversy online.
Yeah.
And I think you know why, because we've watched it.
Did we?
Virgil had an opponent called The Thug.
Oh, okay.
And The Thug came out to the ring dressed in a Ku Klux Klan hood. And The Thug was accompanied by another man dressed in a full Ku Klux Klan hood. Turned out this was Jim Neidhart.
Yikes.
They actually hung Virgil on the outside ropes. So, in 95, I mean, no shock, 95 Southern Wrestling Promotion, but the Klan beat the babyface black wrestler. Isn't that great?
Love to see it. I mean, what? Just joking.
Actually, it was my mistake. It wasn't in the South. It was in Nevada. That's even kind of more interesting.
Thanks.
After being on the indies for 2 years, though, where I'm sure he was the indie taker, the indie god.
Ring of Honor World
He champion. He then appeared in WCW as Vincent. Now, for those that haven't caught this yet, he is called Virgil to make fun of Dusty Rhodes, whose real name is Virgil Runnels. So when he went to WCW and Dusty was either... He had to have been helping with booking. He's named Vincent to make fun of Vince McMahon. Get it?
So funny, Eric Bischoff.
My favorite little note about him online, and let's see if you catch why it's my favorite. In 96, he was the fifth member of the original NWO along with Ted DiBiase. So Virgil doesn't even get his own spot in the NWO hierarchy. Because, you know, it goes Hall, Nash, Hogan,
right,
the Giant, and now DiBiase and Vincent. DiBiase didn't even wrestle. But Vincent still has to share a spot with him. And it's even funnier because he will forever have to share a spot because they always call the Giant the fourth member. And then you have six. So Vincent DiBiase cannot move from five. His whole career he's shit on. He was, of course, the head of security for the NWO, though.
Yeah.
He took most of the ass whippings, and he was usually the valet for the NWO, but he was normally, you know, at ringside with Ted DiBiase. But after Ted DiBiase quit the NWO, Vincent accompanied more men in the NWO. Let me know if you think he was given the A-plus talent. Scott Norton, Scott Steiner, Conan, and Brian Adams.
I'll give it like a B-. Pretty good.
You know, it'd actually be fun to Maybe go to, if someone had an NWO tier list on YouTube, if you
Yeah.
went
I wonder
and you saw where they were ranked.
who would do something like that? Well, I know. PWP.
Ooh, that's
Pro
us. Go take a
Wrestling
look.
Proverbs.
His first appearance in WCW was in World War III. It's a battle royal. It's three rings, and what happens is so many people get eliminated from each ring because there's 20 in each, and once there's so many gone, they move into one ring. So you kind of have to outlast two battle royals. It's always fun because since WCW didn't have a talent of 60, sometimes random legends would just come out and be in it. Or people that were signed to contracts that they never planned on using, but just besides that. Like, I was watching one and Greg Valentine came out. I was just like, this is crazy. This is a main event of a pay-per-view, and Greg Valentine's there in 97. He did wrestle at Starrcade 97, and he teamed with Randy Savage and Scott Norton. That's pretty big. When the NWO split, he remained loyal to the Black and White, and he usually tag teamed with Stevie Ray. Vincent just continued being with the NWO. His biggest feud at the end, they had a battle royal to determine who would be the leader of the NWO B team, the Black and White. That's what the B stood for.
Okay.
And he was first eliminated.
Nice.
And he never joined the NWO again when it came back. After the NWO dissolved, though, don't you worry, Mike Jones kept his job at WCW, and he changed his name to Curly Bill.
Hey.
He joined the West Texas Rednecks, which was Curt Hennig, Barry Windham, Kendall Windham, and Bobby Duncombe Jr. Of course, they are famous for the song Rap Is Crap. When they were feuding with Masta P and the No Limit Soldiers, who, fun fact, had Terry Crews in the group, I think. He was in a group with someone at WCW. I hear you looking. Yes, yep. He was in WCW. I was right.
You're always right, Logan.
I try to be. But yep, West Texas Rednecks. And his name got changed again in 1999. He's just Shane now. And of course, this is because Shane McMahon, because Vince Russo named him. So, bro, you gotta keep with that long-term storytelling, bro. If we let Vince win, bro, then what? He's gonna get in trouble for sexual assault years later?
Forget about it.
Mike Jones did retire from active competition in 2000, but he started appearing again in 2006. He fought overseas for the troops. And in 2010, Ted DiBiase Jr. came out with none other than Virgil. Since Jr. at that point was doing his dad's gimmick all over again, the Million Dollar Belt, of course, you had to get Virgil. Virgil got pinned in a match on Raw. Big Show and guest host Mark Fierstein. They actually beat Virgil and Ted DiBiase Jr. Virgil fired him and replaced him with Maurice. Which, I mean, depending on what DiBiase's into, I get it. But if that 14-inch reindeer cock's true, I mean, who could say no to
Right, I can't.
that? Don't worry, though. He still continued wrestling. 2017, he wrestled for Joey Janela's Big Top Adventure. At Spring Break 3. He appeared as the character Starman from the NES Pro Wrestling game. And he defeated Ethan Page. The last big thing to note for Virgil before the memes in wrestling, or before we get to the memes, in wrestling, he of course would appear in AEW. He would appear in video packages for the Inner Circle. He used his old name, Soul Train Jones. Jones compared Jericho's talents to Olive Garden breadsticks as unlimited. He would also introduce Jericho for the Thanksgiving thank you celebration. It was kind of cool to see him in a positive light. Because, like I said, usually in his wrestling career, he got shit on. So to see this, fans are having fun. Now to what everyone's probably looking for. The memes.
Yes. Before we get there, though, we do have a podcast sponsor for this episode.
Oh.
LonelyVirgil.net is the proud sponsor of this podcast. If you go over to LonelyVirgil.net, you can find a bunch of pictures of Virgil sitting at his meet and greet table all by himself.
No one there.
So, you should go over there and give him a check.
Yeah, make sure you take a look. Especially because that's the first meme we're talking about. He is lonely. You know, he would go to conventions and people didn't want to talk to him. He would even try and set up areas at subway stations for $10 autographs. The meme was created by none other than that C-list podcast host, Sam Roberts, of the Open Anthony Radio Show. This isn't the only meme of Virgil, though. As we've mentioned, meat, sauce, and breadsticks. He loves Olive Garden. His Twitter was amazing. He would talk about things as if I could show a picture of the NWO and he'd act like he helped invade. I don't know if that was a meme or not. Him constantly putting himself in other predicaments. Saying that he drew the house for WrestleMania 4. Shit like that.
Prove him wrong.
Let's see if I can best Virgil WWE tweets. It's our list. 20 insane tweets. Here we go. Just to give an idea, number 20, his very first tweet was, "I'm the Black Dobbs."
Nice.
Virgil also talked frequently about his breakfast, about the meat sauce, about being a real champion.
Meat sauce.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from, but
I know he's got a game called meat sauce.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
He also claims to have had sex with 1 million women. As I said, the first one, "I'm the Black Steve Jobs." It's just things of that nature. He just was so outlandish, so crazy. And it wasn't just on Twitter, though. Because Ted DiBiase had an interview in 2016, and he revealed that he and Virgil had a falling out because Virgil would book independent wrestling shows for the two and conventions without DiBiase's knowledge, which would lead to DiBiase unknowingly no-showing the event. So he would book himself. Oh yeah, Ted's coming. And, yeah. Now don't get confused if you go on Virgil's Wikipedia page. It says he won Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards. This is a trick, because both of them, he was with the NWO. Don't get it twisted. Virgil didn't win no Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Like you said, though, it's sad that it seems to happening more and more. people passing in the wrestling business. I know as people age, it's bound to happen. But Virgil's from that era where it seems there's not going to be very many left. And all it does is add to the conspiracy that Hulk Hogan killed everyone, or is having everyone killed from that era. But that's a different podcast for a different day. Virgil was pretty much on every wrestling fan's TV screen from the age of Hulkamania up through that the NWO. And even, as I said, in recent times with AEW or the Edge of Christian show on the now almost defunct WWE Network. So, I mean, Virgil, Michael, Soul Train, Vincent, Shane, Curly Bill, hope wherever you are, you're eating some meat sauce, you're eating some breadsticks, and you got Moolah smiling up from hell.
So, Logan.
Yeah.
What a... If I told you we didn't record either of those.
Don't you say that.
I don't know. Something happened.
Oh, no. I don't know if you're joshing me or not.
I'm just joshing you.
Oh, my God.
All right, folks. I'll see you next time for another episode of P2P.